You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. Good morning. Man, scrambling today. Jared Bradley just texted me. He said he needs a code. Maybe you can give him a call and get him in. And Bradley Dean's going to join us this morning, folks. A little bit of technical difficulties, and I have a great reason why we have technical difficulties. I became a grandpa again this morning, about 3 hours ago. 3 hours ago, this is a story. I'm not even sure I'm allowed to share it, but I'm going to share the story. I was babysitting last night because Maggie started having contractions about, I don't know what time. She started having them all day yesterday, whatever. So finally, she brought the. Ringing.
Hello.
Okay, Bradley. Hey, Bradley, is that you? We'll get in. So we call. Maggie calls, says, listen, I'm going to go to the hospital. So they bring the two daughters over, and Michelle and I are babysitting them. And so we go to bed, and in the middle of the night, about 1:30 or something like that, we get a call or a text. Michelle got a text, hey, we're at the hospital, we're 7 centimeters, yada, yada, yada. So Michelle jumped up and ran to the hospital, and I was there with the two little girls, Macy and Mia. And Michelle comes rolling back in this morning about 5 o'clock. I think she came rolling in, and she says, I'm a grandpa, little Emery Jane Preston. Arrived about 4:30 this morning. She is, Michelle wasn't exactly sure, 7 pounds, maybe. Michelle sent me a text. Bradley, I'm scrambling here this morning. She was born at 3:48. Do you have a picture of their judge? Here she is. I haven't even seen her. Man, she looks like me, doesn't she? She looks exactly like me.
Congratulations, Coach.
How about that? I'm in Psalm 127. It says, I'm sorry, Jared, I got you doing a lot of things. Bradley, hang in there, brother. I'm sorry we had trouble connecting here this morning. It is what it is. I apologize to mine because I've been scrambling myself this morning. Psalm 127. How about this one? If there was one thing that I had to do over again in my life, I'm serious about it. One thing I'd do over, I'd have more kids. You know, sadly, we get the exact opposite message, church. The exact opposite message. I got it buried someplace here. Where is Claire? Claire over here. Is that a little better? Yeah, I'm sorry, folks. Scrambling this morning. I should have had more children. Should have had 15 kids. The older you get, the more you realize that. And they lie to us. Say, well, you can't afford them. You shouldn't have them. But I'm reminded of Psalm 127, which is right here before us. It says this. The Song of Degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. See, America's no good if the Lord's not in the center of it. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Can you tell me why, with birth control and abortion and all the stupid things that we do in our lives, the Lord is trying to bless us with children, and we're trying to block the blessing? Look at America. Think about that in America. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's my reward. He's rewarding me with children. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of their youth. They're arrows. If they're things that we go to war with. Happy is the man who had a whole bunch of them, whose quiver's full of them. who has kids running out of the, filling out the door, on, onto the porch and down the driveway. Why? Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The gate signifies the positions of power. It's our children who are going to speak with our enemies in the gate. You know, I mean, I noticed that when we were down in Houston this weekend, out at the abortion clinic, looking around, said, we got to get young kids. We got to get some young kids. It's the young kids that we have to train up to speak with the enemies in the gate. So flop it back up there, Jared. Little Emery Jane Cressup popped in here today. There she is. Welcome. Yes, Brad. Bradley's texting me. Bradley. Right, is Bradley with us, Jared? Do we have him in here? Okay. I'm trying to do your thing. Well, Jared, we want to try to get – Bradley, we want you in here. He's listening right now. We want to get you in here, Bradley. Jared, can maybe – Jared, can you take a minute and figure hey, Bradley, we're going to call you again, and Jared's going to try to – get you on the line, okay? So I'm sorry for the confusion, man. Sorry for the confusion. So it might be best, Bradley, if you disconnect your phone, let Jared call you and see if he can't walk you through it a minute. All right, buddy? Let's try to do that, Jared, and when we get him in here, let's let him know. So happy is a man whose quiver is full of... That looks like me right there. Looks like me right there. I'm listening. Let's see what's going on here. Okay, so Psalm 123 blesses a man's quiver is full of them. By the way, fellas, why do you think that's not the message of the church? When's the last time that you were in church and you heard a message on have more babies, have more babies? Why do you think that's not the message of the church? Somebody help me out here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Remember that discussion we had with the head of Oath Keepers, right?
Right.
So I got a cut right here. The preamble itself tells us to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. What is our posterity? Our posterity is our children. And the preamble tells us to protect our children. Period.
So why is the church not having the message, have more children? Why is it if you have a large family and you walk into a church, people look at you? Or why is it if you have a large family and you go someplace, people say to you, are you Catholic? Are you Catholic? Or, don't you know what's causing that? What's happened to us? Good. Rog, you in there? What do you think, Rog?
Well, I would say two quick things. And as one is a little far-fetched, but I think there's truth. I think they're afraid to talk about large families for some of the families that struggle to have children in the first place. Mm-hmm. They don't want to touch on the topic for fear, again, of offending somebody who may be having difficulty. Now, that's not the main reason, I agree, but I think that political correctness flows through these topics.
Roger, have you ever had anything more glorious happen in your life than the birth of your little grandson? I'm forgetting his name.
Rigel's his name, and I'm all in. I wish I would have had more children. When I see young people with kids, I encourage them, have more, have more. And the downside of this, Dave, also is we're not even repopulating the United States with Americans anymore.
No, we aren't. We aren't. What do you think, Larry?
I think that having children's a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
But why, Larry? Why have we moved away? Why has that not become a central emphasis of the church? Because as Roger said, and as we all ought to wake up and see, the Muslims in particular are out reproducing us, and they are going to win the battle of population. Eventually, we're going to run out of little Americans. In fact, that's what they hope is going to happen in America. Why they know that 20 years from now, we old folks, we baby boomers, we're moving out of the picture. What's left behind it certainly is not us.
I think the reason that the body of Christ moved away from having children and propagating and populating the earth is because they believed a lie that you had to be able to pre-plan and make sure you had enough money and everything and wherewithal to raise those kids instead of being obedient to the word. and going forth and prospering and propagating, they started following a lie that before you do what God tells you, you better make sure you've got enough stuff on backed up in the bank.
We like our stuff. We like our stuff.
Oh, well, Coach, that's great. Coach, you asked about churches because it conflicts with the message. And the message is in the last days, men. And if men become lovers of self, we don't have time to love other people. We just love ourself and our stuff.
2 Timothy 4, Jared. Go there if you get a chance. And Bradley, yeah, Jeff, Jared, I feel bad I woke him early to get him in here and he can't get in. I had two different. I feel bad because I woke him up to get in here today. You know, I feel bad about that. And he's texting me. So, Jared, is there a number I could give him to call? Okay. Okay, I'm just going to tell. So, Bradley, call again, and when you get in, hit *6 on your phone, and that'll get you in.
I think Silver had something to say. Silver. But,
okay, good. Silver, go ahead as I'm getting Jared to go to 2 Timothy here. Go ahead, Joe Silver. Come on in, brother.
We're not ready. For example, our three children have had all the kids are going to have, 9 of them. 2 of these grandchildren are married, and they're refusing to have children because they're not ready. We don't have our degree. We don't have this or that. So it's all a matter of selfishness more than anything.
What job did Adam have anyway? What degree did Adam have, him and Eve? You know what I mean? What status quo did they have in the garden?
Yeah, but that goes to Pastor Dale. That goes back to the fact that back in those days, you had to have big families. You need people to work on the farm. You need people to cut wood. You need people to hunt deer. You needed a large family in order to survive. And it's only since we've swung into the sexual revolution, of course. What caused the sexual revolution? Well, the birth control pill, sex without consequences, is really what launched the sexual revolution. And sex went from procreation, something that God had created between a man and a woman, in order for a man and a woman to be able to bless each other or start a home. Sex became something that was pleasure. It became a pleasurable experience rather than a procreation experience. And when we made sex recreational, then children became a curse. Wasn't it Barack Obama who said that he didn't want his daughter punished? Didn't he want his daughter punished with a baby? Do you remember when he made that statement? But see, Barack Obama, he was simply responding to the mood of the nation. Children get in the way. We murder children, and the church doesn't care. All they say they care, but they don't really care. The churches are full of women who did what? Killed their babies. The churches are full of men who did what? Killed their babies. So the last thing that the pastor wants to do is stand up in the pulpit and talk about having more babies because of the guilt that is in the pew because they didn't have more of them. And then, of course, it falls back into, maybe it was Chad, somebody said it, you know, the financial aspect of it. I remember going to a church, a very, very large church. This was about 6 or 7 years ago, just after I'd sat down with my daughter, Abby, our oldest daughter, and said, start having some babies here, will you? Will you start having some babies? She was like 23, 24, been out of Hillsdale College for a couple years, and she was working for this church, in this mega church, and yada, yada, yada. And I said, come on, man, sit down. I want some grandbabies. Start having babies. And so she did. They had little Reese, and then little David came along. We got another one coming along. But I was sitting in that mega church when I heard the pastor talk to the congregation, and he was giving them some coaching on life. And he said out of his own mouth, some of you are not ready to have children. You can't afford children. You got no business having babies. Now, somebody help. Is that anti-biblical message?
I stood up and rebuked him, Coach.
Not personal responsibility. We all understand personal responsibility, right? But children, the greatest thing that God made is he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and everything started from that moment. Boom! He created it, and we don't want it.
Hey,
we,
Coach.
So there's a, hang on a second. So there's a connection between our callousness towards abortion and our callousness towards having more children. Have children. That's not the message of the church. Go ahead. Was that you, Paul?
Yeah. I think it's just like the Garden of Eden. You know, God didn't really say that. You know, you have these kids, it's going to be a burden.
Yeah,
your job, don't have enough money. You ain't going to be able to take care of them. It's all, as I said before, my famous word, diabolical. It's all connect the dots.
So if God was around today, he wouldn't be saying that, would he, Paul?
No, he wouldn't be.
Only have what you can afford, right?
Coach, I remember we were up in North Carolina, and, of course, the Thomas Nation was there, and you had the pro-aborts over there. And Rusty just made that declaration. He said, look across the street. He goes, there's a handful of you over there. He said, just in my family alone, we outnumber you 2-1 in sheer numbers. You're not going to overcome your enemy without the numbers, brother. I come from a family of 9. My uncle had 13. We lived across town. Brother, we could suit up and play a football game. You dare not fight with us because we would all show up and you had problems. You're not going to overcome the enemy unless you got the numbers.
Amen. Well,
can I give another perspective?
Sure, Bobby.
Yeah, my perspective is this. I've been a behavioral. I'm a behaviorist, no longer a behaviorist. A behavioral therapist in 4 counties. I was a fake daddy in 4 counties, and I completely understand what you guys are saying. But this is 2018 with the destruction of the family and the removal of the man from the home. I have been the one trying to control 6 kids when they're hanging off the chandeliers, dealing with the 14-year-old that is beating the hell out of grandmommy. So this is a massive problem. It's no longer the past farming family having kids. It is the kids that are out there are literally beating the hell out of mommy and grandmommy and begging somebody like me, primarily me, no, it's no longer me, but it was me, to come in and deal with it. And to take it even further, when I'm holding, or people like me are holding little Junior accountable for literally punching grandma in the face.
When I put my headphones on, I'm going to lose you.
Junior.
Go ahead, keep going.
So all I'm saying is, I understand what you guys are saying, but the problem is so big nationwide. You're not talking about these are behavioral control centers called public schools. And they turned around. Yeah, they were designed to become that. But now we have a nation full of kids that can't be controlled. And this is not going to turn out good.
Okay. Bobby, I'm with you on that, Bobby. But what about Christian families having more kids? JR's in here, I think.
Okay.
He's in here.
You hear me?
Family. The natural family. The natural family. The Christian natural family. We ought to be overwhelming them with the Christian natural family.
And you're exactly right. And Coach, it took generations to get here. This is not going to be fixed a decade from now. You're talking about another generation. If we begin to pull this thing out now, you're probably talking about another couple of generations to right this problem.
Yeah, but we have to, don't we? Don't we have to? So I had Jared go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is JR in here? How come, JR, we're singing your song? How come you're not popping in here?
I'm enjoying the music.
All right.
I'm enjoying the music, brother.
Go ahead, JR. Hey, Bradley, we'll get right with you, brother. Thanks, man. Here's the dichotomy. Here it is again, Bobby. The world has infiltrated the church because parenthood is not honored, because we don't have a lot of children, because we look out into America and see that 7 out of every 10 babies born in a black family don't have a daddy. They're born outside the natural family. We have a mess. And as a result, the church has let the world become the salt of the church. And so the church has had less children as well. And I could go on and on and on just here in the queue of how many people my age, I'll be 66 here in a week, how many people my age at 66 still don't have any grandchildren? Or if they do, they have one or maybe two. Or that we, the church has really dropped the ball on this thing, fellas. We've really dropped the ball. Now, as Bobby said, it's going to take a long time to regain it. But, boy, judgment begins at the house of God. Bradley Dean, are you out there, Bradley?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, but I'm so sorry we had a hard time. I understand. What's your take on it, Bradley? I had a baby. What's your take on children, Bradley?
First of all, they're blessed, and I thank God for them. I mean, obviously, I do high school assemblies across the country, and with that, you know, we wanted to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. And going back to the direct question of children, I've got five of them. I got five boys, and I thank God for every one of them. If I could have five more, I would do that. And I think really where we lost it more so than anything was in 1973. Obviously, parenting first and foremost, but we have to take a look at statistically what's going on in this country as well. We have 60 million babies that have been aborted, and it shows you where the heart of the people have gone in this country. We've lost our soul as a country. So with that said, Dave, I kind of jumped in at the end of what you guys were talking about, so do forgive me, but that was kind of my little exposition concerning children.
Well, Bradley, we're talking about, you know, I just had a grandbaby. That's what started this whole thing. I'm 66. I have 5 3/4. I got another one coming in January. And Bradley, a lot of my friends don't have any. Or if they do, they only have one. And we've bought into this idea that not the children. We just read Psalm 127. Children are a blessing of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full, because they're going to stand in the gate and contend with the enemies. And Bradley, I'm sure that all the folks, let me back up a second. Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty Media, Sons of Liberty Radio. Bradley said, I'm Mutt and he's Jeff, or he's Jeff and I'm Mutt. I'm not sure. Bradley is a big, hawking, 6'6", man's man. And Bradley spends his time in his life going around mainly high schools, speaking to young people, trying to wake people up to exactly what's going on. So, Bradley, you see the effects of this all across America. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Brad.
Well, what we do across the country, again, as I said, we want to be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem. And I can take this directly to the church, because when I first got saved, I mean, really saved, I was invited to go out to a youth group. And for about a year and a half, I listened to a youth pastor talk about how we needed to reach out to the kids. And I listened to it week after week, month after month. And it's like, I'm not built this way. I got to get out there. And I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving myself. And it just got to the point where we were invited one day to do a high school assembly, and I responded to it. And then we did one the first year, and then we did the second year, we did 100 high schools. And then the third year, it just kept escalating. And we've been doing high schools ever since, from Minnesota all the way to Florida, even over to Alaska now. And again, going to the young people and seeing what we're dealing with out there, they're just looking for someone that actually loves them enough to demonstrate their love rather than to profess their love. And aside of that, we also do radio. We have 103 radio affiliates across the United States of America, as well as do we broadcast into 53 countries. We do colleges. We preach at law schools. We do everything and anything, television, just like you, Dave. I mean, we're about there. About the work of the Lord's hands, doing what he's ordered us to do, commanded us to do, in hopes that we'll see his response, and we do every single time without fail.
So Bradley is a guy who does this, and I'm always amazed that you're able to get into these high school assemblies. I know you've been doing them a long time, and I've seen you work in front of a crowd. I know just by your very presence, you're big, you got long hair. I mean, you're just a big guy. You command respect. How do you, Bradley, knock those doors down? How are you able to get in there? Is your message Christian? Is your message just do good and be good? What kind of message do you bring?
No, it's not that. What we want to do is we want to take them back to the old past, Jeremiah 6:16. And again, what we want to do is show them their history, because if they don't know their history, they surely don't know where they're going. And really what we do in a nutshell, Dave, more so than anything, is we just bring them through a plethora of topics, and really showing them the price paid for their freedoms, both in spiritual and in the natural, and we're teaching them in the natural the things of the spiritual. For example, what I'll do is I'll get off, we'll play music. Paul said, I become all things to all men to win the more to Christ. And what we'll do is we'll command the respect of the students because they love the kind of music we're playing, and it's Christian music. We're not compromising our lyrics. Once I get up, I'll begin to ask the students right away, how many in this room know their founding documents from the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights? And they'll start to laugh at me, and I'll say, well, what's so funny about that? If you don't know your rights, you don't have any rights. And then all of a sudden, there's a hush across the crowd. And then the second question I'll ask them, Dave, is how many in this room have had grandpas and grandmas, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, dads, moms, so on and so forth, that have served in foreign wars? And then all of a sudden, probably 85 to 90% of the hands go up in the room. And I'll say, wait a second. So they fight, bleed, and die to give you the freedoms that you have today. And you don't even know the price paid on your behalf for those freedoms. For the next 2.5 hours, I have their undivided attention. You can drop a pin. I'm not beating them over the top of the head. I'm just loving them enough to tell them what they've never been told before.
You know, Bradley, Rush Limbaugh, I don't listen to Rush all the time, but I heard him say a segment yesterday. I spoke at a high school, by the way, yesterday, Bradley, so I can relate to it. And as I was coming home, Rush Limbaugh said what I thought was one of the most profound things I'd ever heard. He said, the kids in school today, they are not rebelling. They are absolutely following everything they've been taught. Yes, they've rejected our values, but they're not rejecting our values in rebellion. They are very obedient to the values that they've been taught. Tolerance, diversity, who are you to judge, yada, yada, yada. They are absolutely the most compliant generation in America. And my experiences in the school, my jaw dropped, Bradley, because I'm telling you, that's what I see. They all think the same. They all act the same. What's your take?
Well, I can give you firsthand experience. First of all, Dave, they're not rejecting our principles. They're rejecting the hypocrisy that they're seeing in the professed church in America. First and foremost, I did a high school assembly, highest crystal methane rate in the country, highest pregnancy rate in the country, Kabul, Missouri. For example, I showed them a picture of Samuel Armus, the little boy that stuck his hand out of his mama's womb and grabbed the finger of the doctor. Yeah. And the principal walked in. There was about 700 students in front of me. The principal walked in. I have a big picture of the little baby holding the doctor's finger. He says to the students, if anybody's offended, he said, you can leave. It was one teacher. Just think about this. One teacher and one student, which we believe was the teacher's a daughter, that got up and walked out of the room. So I went back. I started going back and forth for about 3 minutes. When the principal seen that the kids rejected him and what he was trying to do, he came back in about 3 minutes later and said, the school assembly is over with. And all of a sudden, this is the message that those that are destroying our country, the morality and our children, don't want you to hear. When he stopped that assembly, 698 students, along with the teacher faculty, stood up and gave me a standing ovation for standing for life. And the kids together came up behind the teachers after he stopped the assembly. And he had said, Dave, the kids did in unison, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And therein is the message that the older generation needs to hear, because the young people are simply asking, what are we supposed to do? Because they know that they're in a cesspool of indoctrination. And might I remind you, illegally, they are being indoctrinated illegally through a violation of Article 10 of the Bill of Rights.
Amen. Hey, Jared, throw Bradley's website up there real good, real quickly, so guys get a chance to look at it. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, I think it is. Sons of Liberty Media. Bradley, how many radio stations are you on now?
103 nationwide.
100, folks, unbelievable, isn't it? So Bradley has this powerful God, young people, history message, and he's forging his way into public schools and trying to get the message to the children. Hey, Bradley, what's the greatest pushback that you get? It's interesting that the principal in that scenario that you just gave us, the principal assumed that everybody was going to be offended. He just assumed it. And so when he stepped forward, he was given everybody permission to rebel and leave. Yeah. And then that didn't happen. then he thought, oh my goodness, because I'm thinking he's worried in his head that he's going to get calls from parents, and so he doesn't want to, he's not worried about the kids getting the truth. He doesn't want the hassle that comes with bringing the truth to the children.
That's exactly right. And might I remind you, this has happened on several occasions where the principals have stopped the assembly program. See, the problem that they're having, not the problem that we're having, is we never lost the right to do what I'm doing in public schools today. Liberty Council stands there with us on a national level. We have any issues with public schools or people that reject us because the fact that we're Christians. Guess what, guys? We have a lawsuit on their desk the very next morning, and within 3 weeks, I'm back in that school doing a high school assembly program. Now, this is what the young people across the country are not used to, Dave. Christians that actually practice what they preach. Once they see you put feet on the ground and mean what you say, all of a sudden they take note, and that is the very Christ that they're going to follow right then and there.
Amen, brother. Amen. So, Bradley, if I get this right, you go in there, or you get, let's say you get a local church that wants to sponsor Bradley Dean to come in and do this presentation, this assembly, whatever, in the school, and the church or the school board says, or not the school board, the principal, the administration says, no, I'm sorry, we can't have that Christian message in here. You guys don't just say, okay, sorry, we'll move on. You actually stand up and push back at that point.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Christian constitutional attorneys across the United States of America, Dave, are looking for people that will stand up and take it to the enemy's camp. We've already possessed the land. The fact of the matter is most people have been taking on the mindset of the ACLU, the communist organization, which, by the way, Roger Baldwin said that the end of the ACLU is communism. I'm not going to stand down and allow them to advocate what they don't have a lawful right to advocate in the United States of America. Lines between church and state. We all know that this is a bunch of garbage. I mean, what were we doing all the way up until 1962 in this country? Without going down that channel and belaboring it, the fact of the matter is we never lost the right, Dave. And we're just taking those rights that God gave us and saying, wait a second, this is who we are. This is our history. And if we have to repeat history by being a bunch of righteous revolutionaries, then so be it. That's what we're doing.
So I'm speaking right now to guys like Denny, Brian, who are out there listening right now. So there'd be no reason in Bradley that somebody in some small town someplace who wants to get a little bit of Christianity back into their children can go to their local church, go to get organized and go to the high school administration and say, hey, listen, we would like to make a presentation, an assembly here, pick a day, whatever it is, before Christmas, whatever. We would like to make a presentation. And they have the God-given constitutional right to be able to make that presentation in the public school. Is that what you're saying, Bradley?
We never lost the right. There's the answer. We never lost the right. People have been scared off in the church. Sad to say, Dave, I'm not a gloom and doom kind of a guy, but the opposition that we've received across the United States has been from the church. And, it's the professed church are the first ones, and the members of the church are the first ones to tell us that we can't cross lines between church and state. And really what it comes to, Dave, is they just don't want you to do what they haven't done is really what it comes down to.
Well, they're afraid maybe you're going to steal some sheep, or the kids are going to get on fire. See, that happened to me, you know, Bradley, when I got sued by the ACLU. If I could take you back to that whole issue, you know what happened, Bradley? What really, really happened there is the kids were developing a deeper faith than their parents. Through our mentoring and the things that we were teaching them, their faith was becoming more real to them than to their parents. I'm just telling you the truth. And so they had to put a kibosh on that because the parents were feeling convicted.
There you go. And that's exactly right. That's another avenue we can go down as well. When you look at these kids, I did a high school assembly in Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, and I think there's about 300 or 400 students there, I'm recollecting. And a teacher came up to me and she started complaining about the children and the young people in the school. And I said, well, I don't know what you're complaining about. That's the fruit of your upbringings. And that was Luke 7:35, where Jesus said, wisdom is justified by our children. Now, I'm not being cocky, Dave. I'm not being smart. I'm not being rebellious. I'm just standing for the principles, and I'm unwavering in the principles of the Word of God, the rock. Whereas the Bible tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I see that when we're willing to meet the Lord on his terms, that he manifests himself every single time as a given, without question.
Amen. Let me open it up. Somebody want to jump in here? Got a question? Got a question for Bradley?
Quick question, Brad.
Yes, yeah, Brad, I can see Roger.
Bradley, do you come in during hours, or do you rent the building school hours?
No, we go in during the day, and they'll give us 3 hours. I'll do probably about a two-hour presentation after my presentation. Then we break it up into classes where my wife will do a class called Virtue. Then we do another class where they actually do a presentation concerning the influence of music. And then we have another class where we have a young man where he actually addresses the teachers and what they're teaching the students across the country. Is it legal or is it not legal? So we're there about three and a half hours every time we do an assembly during the day.
But Bradley, if you were to go into Lakewood High School, my school down the road here, and they give you 45 minutes to speak, Bradley, what's going to be your message? What kind of presentation are you going to make in that 45-minute period?
The answer paid for our freedoms, the price paid for our freedoms. That's the answer that the young people are looking for. When you begin to show them the price paid, for example, World War I, you have 116,516 men that fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution that you guys, I'm talking to the student body, said you didn't know at the beginning of the program. Or what about World War II? There was 405,399 men that fought, bled, and died. They said during World War II that there was not a household in America that didn't suffer loss. What are you doing with your freedoms, guys? Then what I'll do is I'll show them Korea, where my dad was picking up body parts, 36,000. Then we go to Vietnam. There was 58,121 men, Afghanistan and Iraq. And then I'll look at them and say, what would you think of me if I said, let's go to Arlington Cemetery and let's go ahead and desecrate their headstones? And without fail, one of them will stand up or shout back at me, if you do that, I'll rip your head off. And right then and there, I've known that I preach Christ crucified from A to Z, law to grace, Galatians 3:24. And those young people have received the message, and they're going to go out of that school looking for a reason to stand up and fight for what our forefathers fought, bled, and died to give them.
Bradley, they're lost because we've never helped them be found.
That's right.
They've been robbed of our history. They've been robbed of the real liberty that's in Christ. And that's why we see so much drugs and so much of all this other stuff going on. They are without purpose and without connection to the past.
And they know it, by the way. How many times I've had kids come up to me and say, thank you for crossing the line. Thank you for doing what you're doing. It's like somebody turned a light on. And to be honest with you, Dave, I think really what it comes down to is the Lord chose the foolish things of the world. I just didn't know that I couldn't do it. And I was the one, and I am the one that is getting the job done. And if someone wants to get in there and try to put the kibosh on us and obstruct our way, well, then we'll deal with them too again, because the law is on our side. But we're just merely getting the job done because we didn't know that we couldn't.
Jared, pull up Bradley's website again there, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Folks, you can come right now and say, boy, I'd like to poke the bear. I'd love to have Bradley come and speak to the kids in our local school. Well, here's a way that you can do it. And I'm sure Bradley will walk you through the steps that you have to. And they have, as you heard, there are attorneys standing behind the scenes ready to sue that you would be able to get in there. And so we, as Bradley said, we are believing a message that's not true. We have not lost those rights. We have merely yielded them. We've given them up without any fight at all. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, this is JR.
Hey, JR.
I've got an organization called the Natural Family Foundation, and we're trying to push exactly what we've been talking about this morning. We're trying to get people to appreciate the importance of the natural family, one man, one woman, that's blue and pink, respectively. A lifelong committed relationship. As you're talking, there's something that's just really jumping out at me, and that is, where are the parents in all this? I understand you're going into the schools, and that's tremendous, but where are the parents?
Right. There's so much in what you just said. 86% of those that profess their Christianity, right, patriots, Christians, conservatives are the ones that are dropping their kids off at the school day gate to be illegally indoctrinated. And again, I did a high school assembly in Pensacola, Florida. And when we started driving into the town, I noticed that there was five churches around the high school. And the young people, in all truthfulness, are trying to figure out where that love is that the pastor talks about twice a week, and where the love is from their parents, and why it is those that love them do nothing about what's going on in a public school. But let me remind you, young people in public schools, you give them the truth, they know the truth, they are not stupid in any sense of the word. They're just trying to figure out where that love is. That's what it comes down to.
Bob Bradley, that is so true. As I said, I spoke to a group of seniors yesterday at a local school. And you know, brother, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set them free. And you can watch as you're making one of those presentations, you can see a wave come across their face as they realize the logical truth, objective truth, as they see it. They can still think, but Bradley, they're just not presented with it at all.
They're not. And therein lies the problem. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And if you look in Scripture, you'll find Jesus over and over and over again, along with the prophets, going directly into the enemy's camp to set men free. And therein lies the problem. Men don't realize, and hopefully your listeners will catch on to this real quick if they already haven't. Men don't follow titles. They follow courage.
Amen, brother.
Hey, Coach, can I jump in here and make a parallel assumption? Not only does that happen at schools where parents are just dropping their kids off, they do this at church, the youth programs. Right. Parents line up to drop off their kids, to have a babysat, to do what? Entertain them, no teaching, just entertainment. And so they walk out of that building empty anyways.
Whose job is it to educate the children? Is it the parents? Whose job is it to teach the children about God, about the Bible? Is it the church? It's the families, brothers. You're right. You're right on, brother.
What do we do about it, Bradley? What do we do about it? Because the reality is what it is. We do have a generation, my generation, my children's generation, who are not steeped in the things of Christ. Not really. Not very deep. Number two, they believe the lie of the separation between the church and state. They believe that to bring Christ at all, not to mix religion and politics. They believe all those lies. How do we right now, where we are, Bradley, counteract all that?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, the very things that they denounce, they precipitate. The very things that they denounce is the very things that they're responsible for doing. You know, this is what I like to say to people across the country, and I think this will sum it up for you, Dave. If the right, because we've been led to believe that there's a right-left paradigm, there's the Democrats, there's the Republicans, there's the common, you know, I mean, the list goes on with all these titles. Instead of talking about the branches on the tree, lay the axe to the root of it and just get out there and confront it. Because the fact of the matter is, if the right was doing the right thing all the time, there wouldn't be a left. And what we need to do is we need to quit talking about what needs to be done and just get out there. Like David, David is the one that said he knew more than the ancients because he had the testimonies of the Lord. The church likes to sit around and talk and have board meetings. But the fact of the matter is we have to do what God commanded us to do, the way that he did with Gideon. Go out there and tear down your father's altars. Bring it back to the 50s and the 60s in this country. You have enough ground right there to stand and make reference to your landmarks in this country as to who we are and where the fingerprints of the Lord are, because they're everywhere across this country. Because once you begin to show them something that they cannot deny, now you're in a different realm. And by the way, the Holy Ghost is the one that brings that power.
Amen. Bradley, I was just sitting there as your message is so right on, brother. Listen, it starts in the family. I get it. Bradley, how do we bring the pastors on board? Because as JR would say, men take their children to church and let the youth leader, the Sunday school teacher, the pastor teach them the things of the Lord. In fact, Bradley, I think the pastors like it that way, to be honest with you. How do we get them on board with this idea that we're the salt? We have to infiltrate. We got to quit hiding, quit withdrawing, and go into the enemy's camp.
Let me answer it this way. Just this last week, we had four Muslims in Minnesota alone that won the primaries about a month and a half ago. Keith, there's major voter fraud going on in Minnesota. There's no question about it. No doubt about it whatsoever. Right after Keith Ellison won, I started getting texts from people telling me I needed to get me and my family out of the state of Minnesota. And I responded with, I'm a little surprised by you. With that said, I called my local attorney and my national attorney, and I told them both, I said, in about a month and a half here in Minnesota, it's going to get real. It's going to get real hot. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you seen Ellison just won. He said, yep. I said, I just got to let you know that if he comes my direction, I'm not moving. And if I have to stay here during my tenure, his tenure for the next 4 to 8 years, I'll stay just for that if I was decided to move out of the state of Minnesota. And I'm not saying that to be cocky again or arrogant. It's just I'm not going to move what God has given. I'm not going to move from what he has given us to possess in any sense of the word. Now, with that said, instead of running from the battle, Psalm 78 comes to mind, we need to run to the battle. And what we need to do is, in saying that, when I was talking to my attorney, he had said to me about the churches in the state of Minnesota, because what I said to him, Dave, is I asked him a question. I said, in saying all that to say this, I said, I'm curious to know, where is the church in Minnesota? Because he oversees hundreds of churches. He said, Bradley, I have found that the church in the state of Minnesota, hundreds of them, a majority of them are liberal. I said, of course they are. I said, if they weren't, we wouldn't be where we're at today. I said, but it gets a little lonely because every single time I say something, I have the media in the state of Minnesota and on a nationwide basis attack everything I do and everything I say. Well, that's to be expected. That warfare is to be expected, and that's what most people run from.
Amen.
You can't be afraid of what they're going to say, because if you understand Christ crucified and it's the power of God unto salvation, remember Jesus is the one that said, where I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh unto me. And you've seen that in Michigan, Dave. You were with me there.
Yeah.
They gave us power to spread our message on a nationwide basis when they began to attack.
Amen.
The pastors across the country. Now, I know some people aren't going to like this, but here, tell the truth and shame the devil, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I had D. James Kennedy tell me that the greatest advocates in America are the professed church. The greatest advocates to abortion, to homosexuality, in every form of immorality, falls to the feet of the church because they do nothing and they say nothing to confront the issues of the day. And I find that across the boards with the church as well, going up the hierarchy, Dave. And I'm not, again, here to throw a wet blanket or to rain on anybody's parade, but the facts are the facts.
Yeah, Bradley, abortion, gay marriage, go down the list. Every one of those things are being legalized. I use that word, air quotes, legalized with the approval of the American church.
That's right.
If the American church really stood up and pushed back, there's no way any of this stuff would be upon us right now.
Bradley. There's no way. I just sent, and I'll say this real short, and then I'll give it over to you guys. Interestingly enough, just last week, I live in a very conservative county, and I seen a sign that was scrolling. I sent you a copy of it, Dave. And it said, LGBT community, welcome here. And then the next scroll said, yes, we have women in our leadership, just blatantly rebellious. And then it scrolled again, and it says, where we take the word of God seriously, but not literally. There it is right there.
By the way, I shared that on my show the other day. I appreciate that clip. It was amazing, wasn't it? Come on. We got about 10 minutes. Somebody come on in. Go ahead, Larry.
I agree with you almost 100%. The only thing I pick with is it's not the church that is leading the enemy's cause. It's the false church, and people refer to it as a church, and I think that's egregious.
Well, keep in mind, nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Christ himself. Also, keep in mind, it was those that called themselves the children of God that were responsible for crucifying Jesus Christ himself. And if you keep in mind, you know, when I do assembly programs, and oftentimes in high school assemblies, if a student will ask me a question, I'll ask how many people are Christians in this room. And you always find probably 80 to 90% of the hands will go up. And I'll say, now, how many of you can tell me three of God's Ten Commandments?
Oh, buddy.
And you'll see about one or two hands out of 300 to 400 to 500 people go up. And I said, there's the problem right there. You love God so much, you haven't even taken the time to know his government or his rule or his moral law, not ceremonial. Make the distinction. It was Jesus that said, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So with that said, he said it a positive in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. So in saying that, I totally agree with what you're saying, but I think people need more of a distinction when it comes down to who are you talking about, because when people talk about the church, they just think that, well, those guys got it going on over there. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you look in Scripture, it was when Jesus went into the church, namely into the synagogues, that's where he began to deliver them people from devils.
Amen. There's a lot of them. And hey, Bradley, I got a couple of people texting me, emailed me. How do they get you to come, Bradley? Are there costs involved with it? How does that work out? Do they get a local church to sponsor you? What do you do?
Well, keep in mind, what I do is the most underfunded ministry in the country. Less than 0.5% of 1% of all finances that go into the church go to the young people. Did you hear what I said? Less than 0.5% of 1% of all finances that go into the church go to the young people. Our churches don't even care about our kids. There you have it. With that said, you can make a contact with us. And I can give you that number. That's 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. Also go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and check out the referrals from what people have had to say. There's hundreds of them there for you to go ahead and decide whether you want us to have us in or not. And once we make a contact with the principal, that's all we need is someone locally to make the reference to the principal so they know that it's your community that's asking for me to come in.
He has a fabulous website, by the way, folks. I should have driven you up there more earlier. I was distracted at the beginning because we couldn't get him in here. Great website. He has a lot of different writers that write there, a lot of up-to-date. He does the most unbelievable videos. In fact, Bradley, I was scrambling this morning. I was trying to find one of your hot videos to play. I got several here in the queue, but I'm just not going to take time to play them right now. But Bradley does an unbelievable job. He's a historian, folks. He's a Christian historian that you bring into the school, and he connects those dots for the children. And see, the scriptures tell us, well, not one, the scriptures don't say it, but it's the premise is there. Those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. If we don't know where we came for, how do we know where we're going? And so that's why we have so many children, calling them children, school-age people who are wandering aimlessly, and they're wandering aimlessly because, dare I say it, their churches and their homes and their schools no longer teach us the truth about history. I said yesterday to somebody, maybe it was on our show, Bradley, the average American, when did they last have a civics class, Bradley? Sophomore year in high school, junior year in high school? When, and all this, these lies that are being perpetrated all across the media, when has the last civics class been taught in an American church? That would be a question, wouldn't it?
Well, I can tell you, again, I could go there for you. I've talked to principals, and I asked them, one high school we did in Wisconsin in particular to address that, which you just said. I said, so how are things going here in the school system across the country? And he kind of chuckled at me, and he said, well, whatever starts at the top goes to the bottom. He said, our history and our science books are being changed every 3 to 7 years. And see, what people don't realize, if there's text, there's errors in the text in a public school, you can lawfully sue them to correct those books. And again, we have so many people talking about the problem, but we have very few that are actually in there correcting the problem.
Amen. Boy, we got 5 minutes. Somebody else want to jump in real quickly?
Yeah, Coach, that was Woodrow Wilson, a progressive president, who said that. He said, if we don't know where we come from, we surely won't know where we're going, and we won't know what we're doing when we get there. This is planned. We got to erase our past, and that's what they're doing. They don't want to teach our past, and so they can rewrite the past in order to make a different future. And that's exactly what they're doing in the school systems, what they're doing in the church. Jeremiah chapter 5, it says the prophets prophesy falsely. It says they prey on the widow's house. They
They prostitute out, and here's the key thing. It says, and my people love it so.
Yep, that's right. You know, and just going back to that, I didn't know who said that, but also keep in mind, the devil quoted scriptures too. And with that said, Woodrow Wilson blurted the truth out in his confusion, and I thank God that he did, because he was right in what he said.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, we could track back to that guy. A lot of stuff happened under him that we've never recovered from. Hey, Bradley, this isn't happening by accident, is it, brother? The devil is all through the American government. I said to my wife as I crawled in bed with her last night. She's watching on her little iPod before she goes to sleep. She's watching Father Knows Best. Hmm. We all remember that, don't we?
Yep.
She's watching Father Knows Best, and I'm putting some stuff away, and I'm listening as that's playing. And I thought, my, have we ever fallen from those days, Bradley? It's happened in my lifetime.
I know.
In my lifetime, this has happened.
You would never think about the things that we're talking about today. And by the way, and with all due respect, I'm still catching up to you wiser guys than me, because I'm still kind of a young punk over here. But I never thought in a million years I would be talking about the things that we're talking about today. It is out of control, and it's got to stop. And we have the power to stop it. You know, when you really break it down, Dave, you have less than 1.7% of the population out of 325.7 million people in this country. You have a whole lot of people standing back and allowing corruption to do the things that they're doing. And there's an old saying by a famous preacher, they'll always do whatever you let them get away with. And it's exactly the problem that we're having in the country today. We've got to quit talking about the problems. We got to start addressing them and bringing about the answer. It's the church's business to bring the answers to the world, not the problem.
Hey, Coach, I think this will line right up with him, and I think he'll get a revelation. We're constantly drawing a line in front of us in the sand, and the devil crosses that line. The church has to draw the line behind herself and say, we're not backing up.
That's right. That's right.
The scripture says, if the Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's almost a rhetorical question, isn't it, Bradley? If the foundation, if the question answers itself, the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? Well, brother, we got to start rebuilding the wall. We have to start putting those bricks, the solid foundation back in under our feet.
And they're there, Dave. So the only thing we have to do is take a broom and sweep off the top of our laws to understand that the laws are there on our side working for us rather than against us. And most people don't know that.
We don't know that at all. We do not know that at all. Anybody else? We got about a minute left.
Hey, Bradley. I understand you speak in schools. I assume you speak in church groups as well.
Yep, I just did one last night.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. We're going to be out in your area in the up and coming early spring, probably February, March, and we're already talking to Dave about getting together and doing some things down there. If you guys would like to see demonstration, I would be more than happy to do something when we get there, but also keep in mind what's going to come with it, because we're going to see Michigan all over again, Dave.
That's a joke between me and Bradley. What an attack he and I had one night when we went up there to put on a presentation. Bradley, God bless you, man. Listen, I'm sorry you got in here late. We're going to do this
Congratulations.
Again. You and I, man, we're brothers of another mother. There ain't no doubt about it. We're singing the same song, and I appreciate you give me an opportunity to sit on your show, and you're welcome here anytime. And Bradley, we can win this battle, brother. The old football in me says we may be behind, but I'm going to tell you, if we keep doing the same thing, we're not going to get any better. And so we're going to have to go on the attack here. So Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Is that what it would be, Bradley? Sons of Liberty Radio? Is that the best place?
That's exactly right. And thank you very much. And by the way, Dave is on the Sons of Liberty Media.com. He does host the show, Sons of Liberty Radio.com, every once in a while. He'll probably be doing it again in a couple weeks here. I just haven't asked him yet. But Dave's over here in this camp with us as well. And hopefully we'll see all of you guys in the up and coming spring here.
All right, Bradley. As we sign off, stay with us here, Bradley. Don't you hang up on us, all right?
Okay, thank you.
I'm hearing a lot of response. We'll get Bradley back. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.